Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
The God of Israel and His only begotten Son, Messiah Yeshua, are always faithful to their covenantal responsibilities. Now, we're going to look at one psalm in this session, Psalm 132. And I would invite you to take out your Bibles and look there with me. The book of Psalms and Psalm 132. Now, we have been studying in this current section of the book of Psalms, Psalms of Ascents. And I've made mention several times that these were psalms that people would chant, recite, or even sing as they went up to Jerusalem for the purpose of worshiping God. Now, when we look at Psalm 132, we see that it is a messianic psalm, meaning through this psalm and the content of it, we learn much about the Messiah. And Messiah, that promise of Messiah, although we see it in many different places, we know that in the book of 2 Samuel, God makes a promise to David, and we can speak of it more clearly. He makes a covenantal promise to David that one of David's offsprings will continue to sit upon the throne in Jerusalem and also in the New Jerusalem forever and ever. So one of David's offspring is going to be the Messiah, be that King of Kings, that Lord of Lords. And obviously, we're talking about Messiah, Messiah Yeshua, this one who was born in Bethlehem. There's another way that we can express that term Bethlehem. It's with the term Ephratah, and we'll talk more about that in a moment. But I want you to see that David is speaking about a commitment to this covenantal promise that God made to him and how David was going to respond. Did David really believe it? Yes, he did. And his words reflect that. So let's begin Psalm 132 and verse 1. As I said, it begins with a familiar phrase that we've encountered for many of the previous psalms, where it says, Shir HaMa'alot, a psalm or a song of ascents. It goes on to say, later on in that same first verse, Remember, O Lord, for David. Now, remember, O Lord, for David or to David, meaning this covenant that you made with David. And it says here, in regard to what? Remember, O Lord, to David, all of his sufferings. Now, David, although God loved David, we see that David, he was used by God, and in service to God, he suffered greatly. I think it's very important when we look at this psalm that we see an emphasis on David's suffering. Why? So too, and here's the big takeaway, so too will the son of David suffer. And he's saying here, remembering the suffering and affliction of David. The implication is also remember the suffering and the affliction of the son of David, because he suffered for you and me. He suffered because of this call that was on his life to be the Messiah, to do the work of redemption. So this tells us very clearly that this covenant that God made with David concerning his son, the Messiah, there is a context of affliction, of suffering. Verse 2. In verse 2, we begin to see David's commitment. He believed that covenantal promise of David. And more than just that, he was committed to this covenant. And that's why he says, who swore unto the Lord? So David, after God had made that covenantal promise to David of his offspring, the son of David, meaning the Messiah, coming into this world and to deal with the afflictions, the sufferings of the people of God. After making that, David is saying here, who swore, David swore to the Lord. And what else did he do? He just didn't make an oath, but we have another word, the word he took an oath. Unto who? Now we have a wonderful term for God. We have here the phrase, Avir Yaakov. What's the word Avir? Now we need to be very, very precise, because if you go and you search and look at Hebrew words for the term Avir, if you're doing that in English, you may get the word Avir and the definition is wind or air. Well, we're not talking about that. That is with the Vav. This is with a Vait. They sound identical. So it's the same word according to how it sounds, but because it's spelled differently, it has a very different meaning. Avir with a Vait, usually a double Vait in modern Hebrew, it speaks of simply air. But when it is a Vait instead of a Vav, then it has a very different meaning. With a Vait, it is a knight. And when I speak about a knight, I'm talking about a nobleman, knight, not N-I-G-H-T, but K-N-I-G-H-T. A knight, referring to a nobleman, referring to one who is honorable and behaves in order to execute justice. Someone who is committed to righteousness. Someone who wars against evil. So it speaks and uses this term for God when it calls him the knight, again, K-N-I-G-H-T, the knight of Yaakov, meaning the honorable one of Jacob. Look to verse 2. Now, the context of this passage that we're dealing with, and actually verse 3, excuse me, when we look at verse 3, we see that David is continuing this commitment, and he's making a promise to God. And many of the English Bibles will say, if I will not, but what he's saying here is simply this, if I will go into the tent of my house. Here, tent of my house, what he may be speaking about is a chamber within his house. So he's saying here, I'm making a commitment. Things are not going to be normal. I am not going to simply go into the chamber of my house. I will not go up onto the bed that has been prepared for me. So David is saying, I want to emphasize a commitment. My life is not going to be normal. I'm not going to do the normal things. He goes on to say, now look at verse 4. If I will give sleep to my eyes and to my eyelids slumber. Now, what he's saying here is this. I am not going to live normally. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to go about my normal activities until David is doing something. He's just heard of a promise. What is that promise? Mashiach is coming. God told David, I'm going to choose one of your offspring. And we know it's Messiah Yeshua, Jesus Christ. And that he, who is from the lineage of David, how? Legally, not biologically. If you look at Jeremiah chapter 22, there's a prophecy there concerning a wicked king by the name of Jehoiachin. Now, it calls it Kaniah, I believe, there in that verse. But it says, your offspring, there will not be one that sits upon the throne of David and is successful. Now, this means a biological offspring. And it's because of this prophecy at the end of Jeremiah 22 that it was necessary for Messiah to be born of a virgin. So he would be legally from the house of David, but not biologically, based upon Jeremiah 22 at the end and this prophecy that not a biological heir would sit upon the throne of David and fulfill that role of Messiah. So David is saying, I'm not going to go about my business normal. I'm not going to rest. I'm not going to go up upon my bed. I'm not going to give sleep to my eyes or to my eyelids slumber. Until when? Look now to verse 5. This is what David, based upon this covenantal promise of Messiah through his lineage, his legal lineage, what does it say here? Until I found a place of the Lord. Now, what's he talking about? Literally in Hebrew, Makom le'Adonai. Makom le'Adonai, a place for the Lord. He's talking about the temple. And we know that David greatly desired to build the house of God. Why? This is where Messiah is going to rule from. Now, there's a lot more we could say about David and why he didn't build the temple because of blood that was upon his hands. He wasn't fitting for this, but David did do something. David arranged everything that would be there for his son Shlomo or Solomon to build the temple. And notice what it says. It is a dwelling place, and it's interesting. It's the word mishkanot. It's in the plural. Why? It's speaking about an abundant place, a great place for, and again, we find that same phrase, Avir Yaakov, for the knight of Jacob, meaning the honorable one, the one who fights for justice and righteousness, that defends those that are suffering, those who are going through difficult things. What does he work for? He works, this Avir Yaakov, the knight of Jacob. He works for goodness, that which is accordance to the will of God. Look now to verse 6. Behold, we have heard it where? And this is what's so beautiful. We've heard it, what? This covenant. We've heard it, and now we know something else. Where the fulfillment of it is going to begin, it says, behold, we have heard it, this covenantal promise, where? In Ephrata. And Ephrata is simply another name for Bethlehem or Bethlehem. And that's why when I look under in my Bible, it's biblical Hebrew, and underneath it, it has modern Hebrew to help us understand the biblical Hebrew. And it says, Ki hu beivet lechem, which meaning, for he, referring to the Messiah, in Bethlehem, meaning in Bethlehem, the implication is he will be born. And it says, we have found it, meaning this covenantal fulfillment, where? In the fields of the forest. And again, he wasn't born in the city, but he was born in a stable outside in the fields around Bethlehem. Many people speak of the shepherd fields where Messiah was born, not in the heart of the city, although it belonged to the city of Bethlehem, but out in the fields. Verse 7. Now, what should we do? Well, he's going to inform us. Because he has been born, he is worthy of worship. It says, we will go to his dwelling place. Now again, it's in the plural. We wouldn't say dwelling places because it's referring to the abundant and the wonderful and great temple. And it says here, and it's simply the temple as a place of worship, we will go to his dwelling place. And what will we do? Nishtachave, and we will worship or bow down to the place of his feet, meaning his footstool. So we realize that Messiah is heavenly. He's of the kingdom. And in this world, Jerusalem is his footstool. So it says here, we will worship at his footstool. And then he says, look now to verse 8, rise up, O Lord, to your resting place, meaning we want Messiah. Now, David is saying, or the psalmist here is saying, we want the fulfillment of it. And notice, does he really speak about here at the temple? Sure. He says, your resting place, meaning the temple, you and the ark of your power, meaning the place where God dwells. And the Bible tells us this in the book of Numbers chapter 7 and verse 89, that Messiah, or I should say God the Father, in the first temple dwelt on the Ark of the Covenant between the two cherubim on what's known as the Kaporet, many will say the mercy seat. So we have here, come, he says here, rise up, literally, verse 8, rise up, O Lord, to your resting place, you and the ark of your power, verse 9. Another reference to the temple when he says, and your priests, they will be dwelt in righteousness. And your, and the word here is from the phrase chasadim, which means ones who have received grace. So the ones who have received your grace, what are they going to do? Shout. And the implication is shout with great emotion, with great excitement. And most would say that this word for shouting expresses joy. Why? Because God dwells with us. How? Through Messiah. And all of this points to the divinity of Messiah. On account of David, your servant, he says, do not withdraw the face of your anointed one, meaning bring it about. Don't delay, don't bring back, don't hinder, but he's saying here, do not delay the face of your Messiah, meaning bring the fulfillment of this covenantal promise. He says again, the Lord has sworn to David. Now we're dealing with that covenant in a very clear way. The Lord has sworn to David, and the word is truly, in truth. And he will not turn away from it. What won't he turn away? From the fruit of your womb. Now, womb can mean here, if it's a man, and that's who he's speaking to, loins. So he has sworn to David in truth. He will not turn away from it. He will not turn away from the fruit of your loins. But rather, what is he going to do? I will put or place on the throne, on your throne, the throne which is to you. Now, just simply promising that Messiah is going to rule first in the millennial kingdom on the throne of God. Now, when we get into the New Jerusalem, we're told there's no temple, but there will be the throne. And therefore, Messiah will sit upon the Ark of the Covenant, rule from there between the two cherubim on the mercy seat, on the Kaporet, the covering for that Ark. That's for those 1,000 years. But in eternity, in the New Jerusalem, he is going to sit upon the throne. And the tabernacle, meaning the dwelling place of God, will be with his people. Now look at the next verse. We're ready now for verse 12. I would say not if, but since your sons will keep my covenant. Now if might be also as well, but it's a promise, since your sons will keep my covenant. Now, the sons of David weren't faithful, but we can also think of the house of David, meaning believers. But however you want to say that, we'll translate it the way that most do. If your sons will keep my covenant and this testimony, my testimony, this I will teach them. So if we keep his covenant and his statutes or his testimonies, he says, this I will teach them, also their sons forever will dwell, where? Upon your throne. Now, what it simply speaks of, I believe it's a reference here to the sons of David, meaning not just the biological, the physical sons, but the spiritual sons. Those who, like David, believes in this covenantal promise that God made David in 2 Samuel chapter 7 concerning the offspring of David, Messiah. And what it's saying here, look here, we know this from Revelation chapter 20. It's mentioned twice, I believe, in verse 4 and verse 6, that we are going to rule and reign with him. So that's the idea here when it says, also their sons, meaning not just David's sons, but their sons into the future, meaning believers, forever they will sit upon your throne. Why? Now, this again gives us a kingdom context when he says in verse 13, for the Lord has chosen Zion, Zion. Zion is a kingdom word. We need to understand that. So it's speaking about a kingdom reality called Zion or Zion. So the Lord has chosen Zion. And then it says, he has desired for a sitting place, a seat to it. Meaning he wants to sit there. He wants the kingdom to come. So God's committed to the kingdom. He has desired it, and we should as well. It's in the fulfillment of this covenantal promise of the rule of Messiah, the rule of that son of David, the offspring of David, who was born in Bethlehem. This is all good, and we need to be committed to it. Verse 14. This is my rest. Now, what he's saying here is, I'm committed and I won't rest until it is fulfilled. He says, this is my rest forever. Here I will dwell because I have desired it. So he desires the fulfillment of that. And he's not going to rest. He's not going to stop until it becomes a reality. And then he says, look now to verse 15. Again, over and over in this psalm, we see that God is pledging a commitment, a faithfulness to this kingdom promise. Now, we haven't experienced it in the fullness yet, but we will. And those who have died in the faith, they are experiencing a wonderful taste of it right now in the kingdom of heaven. The heaven that currently exists is temporary. We know that because Messiah says heaven and earth will pass away. And we also know John in the book of Revelation in chapter 21 says the same thing. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth, a new creation. What is that? The kingdom of God. So notice what he says. Equipment or provision. So it's the word tzedah. Now we know that there's a place in the Galilee called Bethsaida. This is the same word. And it's a word of equipment or provision. If you know anything about Bethsaida, it was a town of fishermen and or hunters, and it was full of produce. And I mean produce as in the provision. It says in the Talmud, that doesn't make it necessarily true, but why would they say this if it wasn't? It was in the time of the period after the destruction of the temple, where they spoke about Bethsaida, that there at the marketplace in Bethsaida, you could find over 300 types of fish. Now that means they had a vast choice of fish. Why? To please everyone's tastes. So it's a place of provision. And he says here, provision, I will utterly bless. It's a word, barech. Avarech, meaning the word bracha or levarech appears twice. So I will utterly bless provision. And he says, its poor one I will satisfy with bread. So the one who is poor, and this word is the word evyon. And in the scripture, if you know Hebrew, there are several words in regard to someone who is poor. Someone who is dal, meaning in a meager situation. someone who is rash, meaning as well, someone who is impoverished. Many different words. This is a word which means of one in extreme poverty. It's the word evyon. And what it's saying is, this city's poor, the poorest of the poor, God is promising, I will satisfy with bread. And notice something else. Wonderful change that we can expect from this world into the kingdom. Verse 16. And her priests I will clothe with salvation. And it's that same word, chasadim. And those who have received grace, those in the kingdom that have received grace, what will they do? Ranen yiranenu, which means they will abundantly have joy, shout or sing with joy. Verse 17. Now, if you have any doubt about this being a messianic psalm, you can put that away because there's a phrase here, and that is Karen. Karen simply is the word horn, but we have that phrase Karen Yeshua, the horn of salvation. And horn is a term of victory. And what it's saying here, there, where's there? In the kingdom of God. There I will cause to sprout. Now, some Bibles say, I will cause to grow. It's not the word grow. It means to sprout. Why is that important? Because the word Tzemach David, the sprout or the branch of David, both words are used here to describe the Messiah. The sprout of David or the branch of David. We see this, for example, several times in the book of Zechariah. So he says here, I will cause to sprout or branch out the horn of David. Everyone agrees. This horn of David is the Messiah. And he says here, I will arrange, and that can mean I will light a lamp. It's a word ner, a candle, but it's a source of light for my Messiah, meaning he is going to be faithful. And light a light, meaning he's going to reveal messianic truth. And when we examine the scriptures, we find that we can know for sure about the timing of Messiah, how to recognize him, when he's going to come, what he's going to do after he comes. All of this is known in the scripture, and this is the fulfillment of that phrase. I will arrange, or I will light a light, a lamp for my Messiah. And then he says, and it's interesting, after giving us revelation who the Messiah is, after causing him to spring forth, what do we know? Messiah is going to defeat our enemies, he says. And his enemies I will clothe with shame. But upon him, meaning upon Messiah, yetzitz. Now, this is a word to sprout, or it's a word for a blossom. And he says, yetzitz nizro. Well, this means his crown is going to burst forward, sprout forward, or blossom. So we have a promise from God, and that is this. There is coming a time, and we, if we are committed to this book, we are going to be able to discern and recognize who Messiah is, so we can respond. This one who's going to bring an end to suffering, this one who is going to give rest, this one who's going to establish his kingdom. We will recognize him, and we will worship him, and he is going to give us victory over our enemies. The enemy of Messiah is going to be full of shame. But upon Messiah, there's going to be that crown that is going to flourish, that's going to blossom, that is going to be blossoming out for all to see. So a wonderful promise about God's faithfulness to his covenantal obligations. God in a covenant makes great promises. Promises that are wonderful, promise that in our mind are difficult to keep, but with God, nothing is difficult. God just speaks it into being, and it is. So take the advice of Psalm 132. There is that covenantal promise that God made. God cannot lie. And all the wonderful things that we see recorded in Psalm 132, they will be fulfilled. And what should our response to all of this be? Just like we learned in the Psalm, let us shout for joy, and that is a public shout. And let us go before the Lord to his place, and let us worship him. Bow down in humility, bow down in submissiveness, bow down in obedience, because our God is a great God who loves us and who delivers us from all the things that afflict us in this world in order to establish us and position us in a kingdom where we'll have the promises of God and the blessings of God forever and ever and ever. Again, to him be the glory, today, tomorrow, and forever. Amen.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.